Next, we have our regular history spot. Kemp's 9 Days Wonder is an interesting account of a Shakespearean actor famous for his jigs. It is written and read for us by Richard Matthew.
The first Monday in Lent, the close morning promising a clear day, I, otherwise called Cavaliero Kemp, headmaster of Morris Dancers, High Headborough of Highs, and only tricker of your trill-lils and best bell-shangles, began frolically to foot it from the Right Honourable the Lord Mayors of London towards the Right Worshipful Master Mayors of Norwich. So begins the account written by William Kemp of his dance from London to Norwich, beginning on February the 10th, 1599, which he called Kemp's 9 Days Wonder. Kemp, born in about 1560, became famous as a comic actor from 1594 with Shakespeare's company, the Lord Chamberlain's Men, in which he was an actor shareholder with Shakespeare, and where he remained until mid-1599. We know that he played the part of Dogberry in Much Ado About Nothing, and Peter in Romeo and Juliet. He was also famous for his jigs, which were performed after the main play had ended. In 1599, he left Shakespeare's company, possibly because of some disagreement with the other actors. To get publicity, to make some money and for a bet, he decided to dance from London to Norwich, then the second city of England. He also made money afterwards by writing and selling the account of his dance, which he made as entertaining as possible. He proves to be a very effective self-publicist, constantly referring to the large crowds who came out to see him pass. Although he describes just 9 days of dancing, the whole journey took him about a month, as he had a number of rest days, not surprisingly. He refers to his dance as a Morris, but we don't know whether it was similar to today's Morris dances, as they are always done in a group, whereas Kemp's dance was a solo, and his dance is often referred to as Kemp's jig. On the first day, he goes through Whitechapel and then Stratford, in East London, where he says, many good fellows being there met, had prepared a bear-baiting, but so unreasonable were the multitudes of people that I could only hear the bear roar and the dogs howl. He then stays 2 days at Romford, where he says, I strained my hip, and for a time endured exceeding pain, but being loath to trouble a surgeon, I held on. He then dances on to Chelmsford, where, quote, a maid not passing 14 years of age made request that she might dance the Morris with me. I was soon won to fit her with bells, and to our jumps we fell. A whole hour she held out, but then, being ready to lie down, I left her off. He then goes via Braintree to Sudbury, where he says, in this town there came a lusty, tall fellow, a butcher by profession, that would, in a Morris, keep me company to Bury. I, being glad of his friendly offer, gave him thanks, and forward we did set. But ere we had measured half a mile, he said, if he might get £100, he would not hold out with me. Then he meets a, quote, lusty country lass, and says, I fitted her with bells, which she merrily taking, garnished her thick, short legs. He dances with her to Long Melford, and then on to Bury St. Edmunds, where he rests for 5 more days. After Bury, he goes on to Thetford, telling us that he danced 10 miles in 3 hours, quite a speed. He rests at Hingham, and then I danced to Norwich, but coming within sight of the city, perceiving so great a multitude of people still crowding more and more about me, he decides to pause his dance outside St. Giles' Gate at the top of today's Grapes Hill, and rides into the city. It seems that this was a ploy to allow news of his arrival to spread and thus generate the maximum size of the crowd to see him. On the Saturday, after being met by the mayor, he dances into the city through St. Stephen's Gate to the Market Cross, where he is regaled by the city waits, the city's official musicians. He then sees a, quote, homely maid, and says that, as I was fetching a leap, it fell out that I set my foot on her skirts, the point either breaking or stretching. Off fell her petticoat from her waist, and the poor wench was so ashamed, her cheeks were all coloured with scarlet. To complete his dance, he jumps over the wall of the churchyard of St. John Madamarket, opposite today's Madamarket Theatre. On the following Tuesday, he had to repeat the last leg, as George Spratt, his referee who had to see fair play, hadn't been able to witness it because of the crowds. He concludes by donating his dancing shoes to be nailed to the wall of the Guildhall, and tells us that the mayor gave him £5 plus 40 shillings a year for life. Kemp's dance to Norwich was his swan song, as it were. He never went back to Shakespeare's company. After possibly doing a tour of France and Italy, he joined another actor's company and is last heard of in 1602.